Good morning. Welcome to Milestone Church. How are y'all doing today? I hope you are doing really, really good. If I sound a little different, I might not have much of a voice today. We had a great week. We had an exhausting week, but it was an awesome week. And our spiritual cup is overflowing. Our physical cup is ready to go to bed. But it was an amazing week. I was really fired up. Because it really was a beautiful picture of Ephesians 4 says that a pastor's responsibility is to equip the saints of God, his people, to carry out the ministry. And this week was beautiful because you won't see me. I don't even know if I'm in the video you're going to watch here in a minute because it wasn't me. It was over 75 saints of God in our church family who were doing the ministry, and that just fired me up. All right, like I just got fired up. So I'm very excited about that, and it reminded me of a quote from John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, and he said, "If a man of God would light himself on fire, others will come and stop just to watch him burn." And I think this week we did a lot of that. We did a lot of, what are those weird people doing over there? Why on earth would they want to do that? And a lot of questions were asked, a lot of conversations were had, and it was a really, really powerful week. I just wanted to share with you a few stats from the week just to celebrate what God did. I'm so excited. We had over 75 people serving our community. We partnered with two other churches. We built a huge ramp for a 94-year-old disabled woman and her grandson, who is disabled as well. She has lost all four children, and she lives now with her grandson, who's disabled. And we got to serve them and love on them, and our team did an amazing job over there. We were able to help Petros Joyner School, who is in our backyard. We were able to paint their playground, paint their awning in the front so that it could be polished and they could feel excited about it. And we also built some much-needed benches, in-ground benches, for their outdoor classroom they have in the middle of the woods. It's pretty cool. They have like an outdoor... can't think of the word, amphitheater type thing, and we were able to build some really good benches for them. So excited about that. Got to serve them. We did a total of 16 projects in the community. We fed over 600 people. All right? Hey, huh? We fed over 600 people. We gave 15 haircuts. We changed the oil for free for seven single mothers. That was powerful. You'll probably hear about that here in a minute. And so... For 84 hours straight, we sweat for Jesus. And I would just like to pose the question, when's the last time you sweat for Jesus? Let that one simmer a little bit. Just, when's the last time you sweat that wasn't for you, your house, your toys, your desires? And when you multiply that by the amount of people that were here, that was about 4,500 hours of service to our community. So let's just celebrate what God did this week. Man, it was good. So with that said, we're going to show our video now. It's just a little recap of what we did, and then we're going to have a few people come up and share a testimony of something God did during the week. So let's go ahead and let's hit this video right here. If those who are going to share this morning, please come on up. You can just form a line over here. We have a microphone right here. You can hold it if you want, or you can leave it on the stand. Just asked a few people to come up and share something that God did this week. And once you share, you can go back to your seat. And just wanted you all to hear from some other people who were in the trenches on it.
Hey, hello, friends.
Hey. Hi. Oh, Brian, up here, right?
I know.
Nice to see you.
This is my family and my, I think, 6 year doing J.R. with you. By all the ones we've done, we also went to one in Kentucky. And we love it. We love J-Roo. I think it's a good lesson for the kids and the adults alike to learn to be the feet of Jesus to our community. Specifically, I wanted to share about our mission of Life Care in Wartburg. We did a paper craft with some of the residents. I think there was about 20 to 25 residents. And we also sang with them. And a lot of our youth went and we kind of paired them up with one of the residents at the table so they could work on the paper craft, but most importantly, so they could love on them and pay attention to them and talk with them and share with them. Because a lot of them literally
is a great way to get started. Once you get your feet wet, it gets a little easier each time. And Jesus is smiling at you when you do that, when you're able to share your testimony. And it gets easier over time. So I guess that's all I have to say.
I'm going. Okay. She's so organized. I love that about her. I'm not kidding. So I'm just going to wing it. This is my first year doing J-Ru. Me and my husband, Daniel Morgan, over there, wave. Hey. He's pretty amazing. So this was our first year doing this, and everyone knows, you know, I cut hair. That career was given to me in that technical skill from God, absolutely. It took me 10 years to realize to minister. So to people, you won't believe everyone comes and sits in my chair. I don't do hair, I do therapy, and I love it. I love it. Touching, you know, women that would never have budgeted for a haircut. You know, I got to talk to them and tell them, hey, you're worth it, sis. Okay, you really are. Every female's worth it. God made us. We are princesses, you know, and we have worth, purpose. And making another female feel good about herself, that is, yeah, like I said, God gave that gift to me, and I praise him. Here today in this wonderful building of my family. So anyway, the oil changing experience was quite amazing. My husband done that. a lot of the ladies was like, I was way overdue. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'd budget for it. But, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, this one needed shoes. I get it. No worries. They were quite amazed that they didn't hear preaching like, you know, at, you know, come. And, okay, I'm going off track, squirrel. It is that we feel, and I hope y'all do, that we don't have to come at you and stand in the middle of the wide spot, okay, in Petros for the block party. How cool was that? Okay, anybody from here knows what the wide spot was all about years ago? My mother was a bunch. So anyway, to have the Lord there and that presence and that really come as you are, we're not going to preach at you and tell you that you're sinning, because we're all sinning. You know, we all are. But God loves you and you have a purpose. And to have that kind of energy there in the wide spot touched my heart. I'm really holding back tears because everyone knows that, you know, I'm a little bit of a crier. But that's okay, too. I'm sensitive and the Lord loves me. So what I'm saying is everybody has a mentor. You guys, you don't realize it, but you do. Out there in that community and things that I saw, families, friends, I did not recognize. We sat down and we had food and it didn't matter. Didn't matter what they had been through and what they had done. And I hope my light shined. So therefore, we didn't need to get up and have a sermon. You know, our light is shining. If it doesn't, we need to come back and recheck our where we got it lit at. Anyways, there you go. That's my story. Thank you. Thank you.
This was my first J-Ru Missions trip, and it was amazing. I had so much fun. Besides making a million cotton candies, we went to bring food to the police department here in Wartburg and in Oak Ridge. And the lady in Wartburg that came and got the food from us, she was just so thankful. We take for granted the police department because they do everything. They, from keeping our streets safe to taking care of us. And so when we bought food to the lady to give to out, she, as we're leaving, we're giving her hugs, she starts crying and telling us how thankful she is. And the police officers in Oak Ridge, they were fixing to go get dinner. And so when we went, the guy, he's like, you don't get it. This is such a blessing, even though we gave him 100 buns. But he said, this is such a blessing. Some of these officers, even though they're police officers, don't have the money to get lunch and weren't going to eat. And it was just so, it felt so good to me being 15, seeing how we take for granted. And we brought a little 5-year-old with us to the Oak Ridge, and she had so much fun giving it to them. Like, she was right there. She's like, Aunt Beth, can I help? And Mom's like, yeah, bring this. But she just, it was just great seeing how thankful that they were for the food that they gave. It wasn't much, but it was enough for them to eat. But I was just amazed on how thankful they were. And so I guess that's all.
So I'm Jennifer. I am the kids director here over all three campuses. So one of the projects that I got to help with was the Parents' Day Out. And we had 24 kids who were not our own. So it was 24 local kids. And that was really cool because at the block party, we had only had 8 kids who had signed up. And our goal was 20 kids. So we hit our goal and exceeded it. So we were super excited about that. I mean, anytime you get to a chance to love on kids, you're not just getting the kids, you're loving on the entire family. We had about 30 volunteers who served with that. And that was not just adults, that was teenagers too. And let me just tell you about the teenagers. They were fantastic. They never once whined or complained about anything that we asked them to do. They just went and did it. And they were wonderful. I am so thankful for how they served. And that is just an example of how our church has poured into our teenagers. A bunch of the kids did not necessarily have a good source of food, so we were able to provide them lunch. And some of them we were even able to send food home with them, which just felt so good knowing that they were going to have another meal provided for them. And also, we had kids at the end of the day asking if they would get to come back. And anytime you get a kid asking you to come back, that in itself is a huge win.
Well, this was my first JRU mission this year. I didn't get to participate a lot, but I got to go over for the block party in Petros and got to see all the kids and love on them a little bit. I can't tie a tie, but apparently my spiritual gift is balloon tying, so I get to do that all the time now. So, but just, you know, just seeing the kids and being there, and back to what she was saying about the teenagers, my wife's an educator and been teaching high school kids for like 14 years, and she said that God himself must have been in the midst of all those teenagers. They stayed on task. They stayed with the jobs. No whining, complaining. And if you're going to whine and complain, it's hot and sweaty. That's the perfect time to complain. And they never complained, and they just did and went. And so that's an attaboy not only to the teenagers, but to your parents as well for raising you right and having you in church. And so, I don't know, it just fires me up to see the people who were involved with it, the good times that they had. Now, this makes me want to be more involved next year. I've already put it out with my boss. Hey, look, we got this thing going on. So next year, be thinking about it. So thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cameron Bruce. What's my official title? Is it youth person? Yeah, student director, pastor, director, minister,
bishop.
I like bishop. That's a good one. I like that. But me and my family go here, and we were involved with J-Roo this week. And, man, what can I even – I don't even know where to go. The more I was staying up here, the more I remembered what happened along the way. You know, I started thinking about the woman at the well even. You know, Jesus knew about her and her background and what was going on in her life. And then I started realizing that happened every single day and everywhere we were. And I'm not a crier, and I'm actually may cry today. It may happen. I may not have a choice. But the first thing that comes to my mind is when we went to Wartburg Middle School, and we helped set out and set up for the upcoming end service and beginning of school kind of duties where all the teachers meet and we go over things. Well, some of you may not know, some of you may, but there has been no air conditioning all summer there. So the janitorial staff has been there from 8 o'clock in the morning till 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon working in 80, 90 degree weather. I mean, those people have poured their hearts out and just been suffering through it. But don't complain. They just do it. And they said that it probably saved them a whole day's of work. And so those people were so grateful for us to be there. You know, I also think about we helped out the Unicorn Fund. You know, we just thought we were going to be moving junk around. But what we were really doing was we were blessing a woman. Her husband is on hospice. He's not doing well. She had all this work to do. She had no clue how it was going to happen. She's one woman with a dying husband. And we came and were able to organize and do these things for her and be able to open up all these opportunities for people in our community. And the kids were fantastic. They got there and they moved stuff. They worked hard. They poured their hearts out and they realized, whether they want to admit it or not, they realized that Jesus was there moving among them. You know, we went to Frozen Head and we were just cutting out bushes and doing things like that. Nothing big. And it wasn't a big deal as far as that goes. But and we were putting mulch down, but the rangers told me after we kind of finished, they were like, you saved us a day and a half of work. And we don't have time. We don't have enough people to get it done. But they would expect us to do it eventually. So God was moving. You know, he was praised all week. There's no doubt about it. You know, and he was glorified when we were loving on his people and taking care of individuals. But he provided the opportunities for us to do that. But I want to give a shout out to our teenagers and our students, because they worked hard and they didn't complain and they sweat and they were there for the whole thing. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Ginger for the people that don't know, and I'm super nervous and I'm such a crier, so bear with me. I was on the food team, myself and Bill Hale. We got to serve breakfast here at the church every morning, and we're in charge of like food for block parties. Well, a little bit for me, this was more of a blessing to me than it was maybe to the people that we helped. I had questions in my life because my mom just passed. Where do I belong? What is my purpose? This was God's way of showing me my purpose, what I needed to do, where I belong. So I guess one of the biggest things that I remember is Petros. We were serving food. This little boy come through. He was probably about 10, and I'd noticed a lot of people come through, but this little boy just, there was something I was drawn to for him. So the first time he come through, he wanted 4 hot dogs. And I was like, okay, that's a kid. You know, that's good. Well, toward the end, he came back through. He wanted 4 more hot dogs. And me, myself, me being a crier, I held back the tears, you know. But when I got home, all I could do was cry for this child. Because this was not a child, like, gorging himself with food. This was a child that was hungry because he said, I'm starving and this is good. So it was, you know, we take for granted every day that we can go get a bottle of water. Or when our kid is hungry, we can go get a dollar hamburger or we can go get a sandwich out of the refrigerator. So just be a reminder that here in Petros and wherever you're at, there is somebody that needs, you know, right in our back door. And just remember what blessings we have that we can feed our children or whatever. And just, it's just remember how blessed you are. That's all I can say, because that's what it's about.
I will say that there were a few things that stood out to me during the JV. You see things that you don't realize. They're all around you every day, and we don't take time to pay attention. when we were doing the Parents' Day Out, we took a van. Me and my wife took a van to pick up these kids who signed up at the block party the night before. There's about four of them that signed up. We were going to go get them, and we drove down some deep south. Deep South Petros Roads, back in the hollers, and saw some things that reminded us a lot of Venezuela, some houses that are not houses, some homes that are not homes. There was one man living in a house about the size of a chicken coop. We went to pick up these kids, and they were playing outside in the dirt by the road unsupervised and couldn't come because their parents wouldn't get out of bed. And that just kind of hit me like, I don't know if you make a habit of letting your kids play in the dirt unsupervised right beside the road. I don't know if you do that or not, but that's really broke my heart for those kids. And that was one thing that really kind of hit my heart. And another one was there was this child that came every day to what we did and wore the same clothes every day and two different shoes and ate all the food you could fit into the stomach. And it just, you know, just broke my heart. It's right here. It's not Venezuela. It's not a third world country. It's right here. And so just be praying. Just be praying as we seek to continue to do this. We will do the JVRU every year, but also we don't just want to spend the year preparing for the JVRU. We want to spend the JVRU preparing for the year. And so we want to start some small groups that are going to go out and help feed people. We want to start some small groups that are going to go. We want to build one ramp a month. There's already a group of 60-year-old men that do two a month, and they're looking for some young bucks, some younger guys. And I'm like, hey, I think we could help with that. And so we want to get some groups together that can be on purpose and go out and continue this throughout the year. That's really something that we need to do as the body of Christ. I just wanted to share with you a little bit. Today is kind of like what God's been teaching me this week as we've been going over this. You know, I just been thinking a lot about how church isn't about me. It isn't about us. It isn't for us. It isn't for you. It's for God and others. Okay, I'm going to read a verse. You can follow along. Matthew chapter 5 says this: "You are the light of the world." He's talking to his followers, Christians, Jesus followers. So if that's you, then this is for you today. "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that," everybody say, "so that." So that. Say that one more time. So that. "Let your good deeds shine so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." So you are here, we are here to live and shine in such a way so that a very specific purpose, very specific reason, so that others will be drawn to the Father. So that others will be drawn to Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. I made the decision before I planned this church. I was done pleasing church people. I wanted to reach lost people. I done spent too much of my life doing that. And so sometimes we just need to hear, you know, "Well, Chris, I don't really like how y'all do that." Well, it's not about you. "Chris, I wish we did the music more like this." Well, it's not about you. "Well, Chris, I wish that you would do this or that, or we could do this, or we should decorate like this." Well, it's not about you. It's about reaching people. It's about God. And we need to tell, and I don't mean that like to be a jerk. I mean like we need it. Like we need to hear it. Because you know what? If I did everything like I wanted to do, then this wouldn't be effective. Like I'm a horrible decorator, right? Those bathrooms would look hideous if I did it. Like, you know, we have certain people that are gifted, and we, but it's about what can we do to reach out? What can we do to make people want to be here? To create environments so that people far from God can be filled with life in Christ. That's what it's about. And part of that is this, and this is going to scare some of y'all. You need to buckle your pants, okay? You are a minister. You are a minister. I'm a minister, but so are you. And so what happened is when Satan cut our entire workforce 99% when he created clergy and laymen. Those are not biblical titles. They're not biblical words. When he created this dichotomy of, hey, let's pay this guy who is a good speaker. Let's pay him to do all of God's work. And then we'll just give him the money and let him do it. So you got one man or a few trying to put out the fire, spiritual fire in Morgan County, while 99% of the workforce can sit on the sidelines and maybe give a little bit every now and then. That's not effective. I'm glad that's not the case for this church. I want you to hear that. Like, that is not this church. I'm saying that's the design that happened. That at some point, the church just went like this, and we cut our workforce. See, here's what the biblical model looks like. It has the pastor right here training and unleashing an army of followers of Jesus to go out and minister to the world. Now, if you don't believe me, it's okay. Don't take my word for it. Let's see what God's word says about it. Let's look at Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests." Some translations say, a royal priesthood, a priesthood of all believers, a holy nation, God's very own possession, and as a result, follow me, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of his darkness and into his marvelous light. Has anybody walked out of the darkness in here? I have. I remember that darkness. It sucked. I remember being a slave to sin. I remember being a slave to appetites. I remember being a slave and thinking, God, why can't I do this? Why can't I stop this? Why do I do this? Like Paul in Romans 7, the very good I want to do, I don't do. And the bad things I don't want to do, I do them and I don't understand it. We are all ministers. And we are all equipped to help others walk out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Every one of us in here. Now here's the problem. And I'm going to speak to you. I normally speak in the we, because I hate pastors who just like single out all the time and you feel like they're just lecturing you all the time. Like, I'm above you. I'm not a sinner. I'm not broken. Like, I just don't like that preaching. So most of the time I try to preach like, we all struggle, because we do. I struggle. So I try to, but right now I'm going to talk to you. Okay, here's why. I think many of you look for ways to disqualify yourself. I can't do that. I'm not blank enough. I can't do that. I don't know the Bible enough. I can't do that. I'm not holy enough. Pfft. Nobody is. Let's just throw that out there. Nobody is. And if they tell you they are, they're a liar. And they have a pride issue. Anyway, I'm not good enough. I don't have my stuff together. I can't do it. You look for ways to disqualify yourself when God has a ministry just for you. And think about this. Think about a 500-piece puzzle. It will never be complete without all the pieces. This body, particularly in Morgan County, we are always going to be like this. Hey, come to Jesus. We're always going to be limping without all the pieces. until everybody finds their ministry and everybody does their part. We're going to be missing fingers and toes. We all have a different role. We all have a different ministry in the body of Christ. And we're going to be hobbled. Oh, don't worry. We will keep going. We will drag ourselves with teeth if we need to. But I'm telling you, I'm inviting you to find your ministry. Will you say, Chris, I've been divorced. Okay. You know what? I hate that happened, but great. Did you know there are divorced people today that want to hear from you and not from me? They need to know how to survive it, and I don't know that. Don't disqualify yourself. Well, Chris, I've been addicted to drugs for a long time, or alcohol, or sex, or whatever. Well, great. I know that sounds weird. I'm sorry that happened, but did you know there's people today that would rather hear from you than hear from me? There are people, and I learned this in 3 years of doing Celebrate Recovery. Guess what? All the church people with greatest intentions, we launched Celebrate Recovery for 3 years. We did it, and it was like, we just love people. But you know what? They come in, they say, I'm on pills. Who here has been on pills and walked out of it because I want to talk to them? I don't want to talk to you. You're a pastor. I don't need to talk to you. I don't need to talk to so-and-so who she thinks she can help me by just loving and praying. I need to talk to somebody who was here and walked out. You say, well, Chris, I struggle with mental health, depression, anxiety, bipolar, ADHD. So does 46 million other Americans. Your ministry is wide open. There are a lot of people that need to hear from you. I can reach those who struggle with ADD and depression, all right? But I can't reach all of them. There's a lot of them, all right? We have people, listen, do not disqualify yourself. Find your ministry. There is purpose in every pain. That sounds really cliche. But if you think about it, I kid you not. Do you know how many times we've been able to encourage couples because of our miscarriage? It was horrible. But you know what? We were so encouraged when all these people came to us like, we've been there. We know what you feel. We just want to pray with you. And then now we get to encourage other people with that. I did not enjoy it, but I thank God that we can use it. I thank God that he uses it. He is a master of taking beauty, or making beauty from ashes. And so everybody in here, you have a ministry. You are a minister. Don't look at your resume of mistakes and try to find a way to disqualify yourself. People need to hear from you, whatever it is. So here's how do we do that, Chris? Well, here's how you do it. You find your passion, your gifts, or your experiences. And those together, those will help make who you are. And they will help show you this is where you can really make an impact and where people really need to hear from you. And if you need help with that, I would be glad anytime to sit down with you and talk with you about that, help you find your spiritual gifts, help you walk through your experiences, help you think of how you could maybe minister to other people through it. That's what I'm here for. I'd be glad to. But you find your ministry. That is my challenge today. Because here's the win. I don't know if you know this or not. The win is not, like the goal, the win is not, can we fill this room up every Sunday? The win is, does everyone in this building go out and just drown the world with Jesus? That's the win. Does everyone in this room go out and at the workplace and at school and at home with your children, with your neighbors? Does everyone in here go home and shine a light and encourage and try to serve and try to be there for other people and try to love? That's the win. That's the win. I just want to challenge you. Find your ministry. Let's pray together today. Father, we're so thankful that, God, you are patient and you are kind, and that you have used us when none of us are worthy, when none of us have it all together. God, we're just so thankful that that's not what you expect, that you sent Jesus for that very reason, to make up for our sin, to cover us, to redeem us from ourselves. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, God, may we never use that as a license to sin. God, may we use it as a motivation from gratitude to simply share with others, what you've shared with us. God, I pray that every person in here would find their ministry. I pray everyone in here would find their fit, where they belong, where they're gifted, where they're passionate, where they're excited to make a difference, God, and they would just run forward and just be used by you in so many ways. God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace in this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.